In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Four Times in a Podcast. It's Sunday the 10th of December at 2:30. And I'm joined by Tony and Andy. After Celtic's 2-1 defeat away to Kilmarnock in the Premier League, Darren's on holiday, luckily for him. So we'll just get straight into it. Celtic, Kilmarnock away, always a tough venue to go to, especially in the last few years. This season. Rogers already lost this season in the League Cup, with our treble dreams ended, and today our unbeaten league season ended there as well. Tony, bring you in first. First thoughts as the game finished about 45 minutes ago.
Good question. First half, I thought we were fine, but I thought defensively we were poor. They hit the post. We had one cleared off the line by pure luck by Alistair Johnson, and then they went through. I think it was flagged for offside, but it wasn't, and it missed anyway. But we had chances. We were on the front foot, and I thought we deserved to be ahead kind of thing, but second half was symbolic. And you could see it kind of coming after about, I think, 5 minutes of the second half. They had all these crosses coming in and all these corners, and we couldn't deal with it, we couldn't live with it. I think that's when the manager should have changed it. He could maybe have brought Naroki on and maybe put Scales to left-back and put Naroki at centre-half to give a bit more physicality and a bit more support. But second half, probably the worst I've ever seen us play. I thought the first half against St Johnstone was bad, but that against Kilmarnock was symbolic. I mean, it won each. At least get your draw right. Don't be going just kind of all-out attack and risking losing the point. But we've done that. The goals we concede are laughable. Nat Phillips was atrocious. I mean, if he's our choice centre-half ahead of Lagerbielke and Naroki, then just sell them in January. They're obviously dreadful, because he's a poor player. I think he's reminding everybody of Shane Duffy. Even the own goal, I don't know where he's hoping to put the ball. And then the goal they scored, he's playing everybody onside. I know there's other players at fault during that, but I just think we're a really poor team. You look at that, and I feel as though that this podcast, you could just listen to probably the one we done after Motherwell or the one after Lazio. You look at some of the players that are playing for us, and it's astounding. I mean, Greg Taylor's still playing, not really top level or the level we need. Mikey Johnson, James Forrest coming on to rescue a game. And you've no faith. When Ange was here and you seen maybe a Abada coming off the bench for Maeder, Jota, you'd have a bit of belief, or you seen maybe Moy coming on, you thought, right, that will help us. Now, whenever somebody's coming on, you're going, oh, fuck's sake, is Yang coming on, or is Forrest coming on, or whoever it may be, even Kyogo, I don't think he scored one in the last 9. He seems to have just fell off a cliff under Rodgers. I think we know the issues with the board. The board are a major, major problem, but the day, I think you need to look at the manager and the players and just go, that was wholly unacceptable. And apparently I read the Riot Act against St Johnston. We started really well and done great against Hibs. Carried it on into the first half against Killy and then just fell away again. It's just, it's concerning. I mean, I think we've used the term a lot about sleepwalking. And I think the club have. I think, again, they've tried to be fly in summer. They've tried to save money so they can obviously give themselves wage rises on the board and say, look at our 70 million figure and yada yada. But if you look at the season so far, it's been pretty poor. I mean, we're technically five, top of the league, but if Rangers win their game in hand, which they should do, it'll be cut to 2 points. We're out the cup. Rangers are probably going to win that. The Champions League campaign's been a total waste of time, and the performances have been pretty awful. So I think a result of that was coming, an actual defeat where you fully get punished for being pretty poor, and Killy deserved their win. I think even, like, maybe it was the last episode, we were talking about the inept people in Scottish football, and I mentioned Derek McInnes. I mean, this guy's been a loser for a long time and he's lost countless cup finals to us, etc. And then he's doubled us already in the first 6 months of the season, which is horrendous. Andy, you need me, right? It's just atrocious. I don't really know where we go from here. Feyenoord midweek. I think they'll beat us quite easily. I guess I said that prior today. I think they'll beat us 3-0. And then we'll need to try and win the rest of the domestic games. I think they're mostly at home. Hearts at home, Livy at home, Dundee away, and then Rangers at home. So as opposed to looking at that Rangers game as a chance to go double digits clear, you need to make sure you don't lose and give them the advantage in the title race, which is quite incredible to say, seeing as we were 7 clear not so long ago. But the club's just a bit of a mess. And I think the atmosphere at home games, as we've discussed, is really embarrassing. We've been outsang by fucking 400 Motherwell fans and 700 Hibs fans the last two games. The board are still fighting with the Green Brigade. I think Andy touched on the last one. They phoned us up to say that we are banned for press conferences, which is fine. It's not really a big deal. But why they're focusing in garbage like us and fighting with fans when they really should be backing the manager and come up with a plan to actually get the get us rolling again. But no, it's a far cry for the treble team of last season, and I don't know what Brendan Rodgers is thinking at the minute, because he could be in a beach somewhere or he could be in Saudi pissing about near an absolute mega fortunes. But instead he's here, and look, he should be beating Killy with the players he's got. But the fact is, he's having to come out and talk about Mikey Johnson being one of our best ever academy players. I mean, what a lot of shite. Absolute nonsense. He's having to start Matt Phillips and Scales, who was like seventh choice last season. I think we're well in a title race. No two ways about it. And we're going to need to be very careful. The next couple of weeks are really important. And January's huge. If anybody at the club comes out and says it's a difficult window, they should be told to shut up. And every window's difficult. And January's really important. We need to have a very good window. We need to sign a new keeper, a new left-back, maybe a new striker, and a new midfielder.
Aye, I don't disagree with what you say there. I think people will harp on about recruitment and the board, and that's fair, but the day, to me, was an outlier for that. It was just like the manager has got to carry the can along with the players. It's all right. People have used the board as a bit of a kind of just an easy out, and you can harp about it in the Champions League, of course you can, because we're getting shown up for the lack of recruitment, the lack of preparation that went into the summer. But like instances like the day, first half, you're involved in a really good game. I mean, we started really well. We should have scored 3 or 4 in the first half. Who looked like a world beater on Wednesday night, looked like a competition winner. Couldn't get on the end of simple crosses into the box, putting them over the bar, falling about. And you just think that it's... I don't want to harp on about Oak, because I like Oak a lot. I've been on this podcast singing his praises, but he kind of summed up our season so far today, where it's just the lack of true consistency and the stop-start nature of the season. Every time you think you've turned a corner, like I thought we turned a corner on Wednesday night, you get away with the bad first half last week, then you put four in a decent enough Hibs team, but we played with a lot of hunger. They came out and went after Hibs, and then the day of the first half, at half-time, I think this would be a great 3 points to get. Because Kelly are a good team, they've got a really good defence. They play for each other. They've got a good home record. But after 15 minutes of the second half, you're like, if we don't see this out 1-0, we're not going to win the game because they're never going to score again. Kerry no threat in the second half. Kelly just decided to go after the ball in the second half, and we had no answer to it. O'Reilly, I mean, I picked O'Reilly out on Twitter. I feel kind of bad about it because, you know, he's probably been my best player this season. But I just thought with the space that he got in the second half, because Kelly midfield just decided to go after Scales and Phillips, it should have been a lot better. And then he should have been in the game a lot more. But then I think he was marked out of the game by Finlay. But I don't want to give him any credit on here. But just Andy, the second half, how flat was it compared to the first half at St Johnston? Because we were all worried at halftime against St Johnston, and then you turn the corner. But how concerning is it to you that they've went back to? Because I think that was worse than the performance against St Johnston. How concerning is it for you that they've went back to basically looking like a team that's never played together before?
I would agree with you. I think that it probably was worse than that half against St Johnston. I think it was, as you say, like Kelly changed their game plan at half time, really getting more faces, pressured our two centre halves, and we didn't have an answer. Neither one of these centre halves are good enough for Celtic. I mean, people gave themselves a bit of comfort blanket, Liam Scales, because he wasn't making an arse of it completely, but him and Phillips, just criminal, completely criminal, inept on the ball. Like, the way we play it, your attack starts for the back line. And it broke down at the back line every single time. We didn't create any chances, really. And that second half, Craig Taylor, another one, just rotten. But I mean, I said it to you, that there's maybe four out of that entire starting 11 that should be at Celtic, really. The rest of them, they're just not really any business being here, but it's just complete mismanagement from top to bottom as to why they aren't. And again, the same goes for the bench, realistically. Kyogo, and I don't know if you want to be fair, and maybe give Bernardo and Narokia a bye, because Narokia, you've obviously not seen much in. Bernardo's come in alone, young. Like I say, there might be a player there longer term, but the rest of them, just shouldn't be here at this point. And as I say, the vast majority of the starting 11 just shouldn't be here. They're not good enough. There's players in that team that would struggle to get in the fucking Kelly team. And I don't doubt for a second that a lot of them in a year, 2 years' time will be playing for teams like Kilmarnock, guys like Nat Phillips. He'll be playing for some fodder in the English Championship in another year or so. Scales will be back at fucking Aberdeen or playing for Kilmarnock himself. Taylor, I don't even know where the fuck he's going to go. The way he's been performing at times, like Johnston, I don't know what he'll be up to. He'll be at Hibs or something, like just riddled with absolute shite throughout the entire team. But again, it doesn't excuse the performance levels, and it doesn't excuse the way the players have been going about their business. Just shite bags. It's hard because you've seen wee glimpses here and there. But like, if you look at the goal, McGregor tracking back, I thought he was towing a caravan. But Liam Scale just completely fails to engage the player. I don't know, he just gave the boy the fucking freedom at a back line, and then Phillips was just playing his own line, doing what the fuck he wants. Like, time and time again, it's just simple errors that they shouldn't be making. I don't know what's going on. I don't have an explanation for it, other than just complete. They're just inept, just completely, just out their depth at points. But I agree, like the full second half, you knew it was coming. I mean, not even only this game, it's been coming for a number of weeks now that we were going to go and lose that sort of undefeated streak domestically in the league. But it's been coming and you felt it that second half. We just didn't. I think we could play the rest of the night. We wouldn't score a second goal. Chance creation was honestly probably the worst I've seen as a second half performance at a Celtic in fuck knows how long. But it really is up there. I just don't know really where they go here. And then again, I'm seeing a lot of fucking stuff levelled at the manager as well, and I think there's blame on both sides. I think Rodgers has been a bit, I feel like he's almost doing that thing, he's just trying to make a point to the ninth degree, and it's now starting to harm us because we're realistically just dropping points left, right and centre. And then again, it falls in the door of the players. That's just far from good enough. It really is. It's back to that old thing. Do they really want to be there? Do they want to be playing? Have they got the heart and the desire to be out there against players who, if you look at teams like a man, that's their big game. That's their every time they play a team like us, it's their cup finals, and they go out and they get 100%. And like you say, they would have taken a bullet for each other in that park, and you can tell that in the way they went about their business. And it's the entire opposite for us. But Danny, I the reality is a massive clear out's needed. We've let ourselves get into this position. We should have been so far ahead this season already, but continually just making an arse of it. I mean, Europe's probably no help because we just keep fucking making an arse of that and all. And I think we just keep dropping stupid points and haven't put in stupid performances in. And I think it's symptomatic of the team and in the state that the team's in. And I think that's the reality. You know, I think there's going to need to be a massive clear out. I've seen a lot of stuff on Twitter already, and you know, it's like there's knee-jerk reactions and people going a bit. And they're harping back to Angie's teams and Angie's seasons. Listen, I've no doubts in my mind that if we had a full starting 11, we would have won that game. But the difference between that is our first 11 are actually pretty good when you bring in back guys like Atati and guys like Maeda. And their quality can bring you through games, but it's a squad game. You've got 25, however many players that you need to rely on, and the bulk of them aren't good enough. They're not at the standards that's required. And the manager's making some decisions which are there to be questioned, and they should be questioned. They shouldn't be able to just avoid any sort of criticism that's levelled at him. A lot of it does fall on his door, but a lot of questions he'd asked of certain players and the performances that certain players are putting in, because they're just far from good enough. But I think we've let ourselves fall into what's going to be a title race. I think that's it was in our hands that we could have been far and away for them now, Danny. But performances like that is the reason that we fell into this position. And it's worrying, to say the least, because I think we are... I don't know how you turn around that squad, because how the fuck do you sell a guy like Liam Scales to another football team? Do you know what I mean? I just don't understand how we've allowed ourselves to get into this position. But again, that's
I think there's a mediocrity that's seeping right out the club at the minute, and I've got a point I want to make later on before we wrap it up, but I'll no make it now. I agree with what you said. I think the only thing is injuries happen during seasons, suspensions happen, players get injured, we get players sent off. The fact that we've not got players to come in and replace these players, of course you can't replace them like for like, because you know that's why they're the first team and that's why other players are reserves, but like Johnson, Forrest, Scales, like they're three players that weren't even... I know Scales is away on loan at Aberdeen, right? But it didn't shine at Aberdeen. You never watched Scales play for Aberdeen last season and go, do you know what, he could do well in our team. People were harping back to the Ryan Christie loan at Aberdeen. Christie was actually affecting games for Aberdeen. Looked like a good player. And yet, still, nobody really said, well, he's got to bust into our team now. Christie still came out of nowhere. With Scales, it's just, he came in for a few games. I don't think he overly impressed at all. and he's kind of a bit like Scott Bain. Scott Bain made a Celtic career out of Morelos hitting the post for 2 yards. Scales has kind of made a career out of Rangers not being able to take any chances, and suddenly three months later, he's not been out of the team. He's played in every Champions League game, which should show up the lack of recruitment, the lack of preparation in terms of Europe. But the day like Forrest came on, I can't remember him doing anything worth note apart from getting the ball away and keeping Kelly up the park at the end of the game. Taylor's drop off this season has been really poor, and I'm somebody that's been a big fan of Taylor, but I couldn't tell you. I think he's had two or three good games this season. But judging by his standard last year, I don't know if he could call them good games. I don't know if he thinks he's seen Burnaby half. Burnaby's probably seen himself half, but he's just got lazy. He's just got comfortable. I don't know. But it's too easy to say that Rodgers is making him play as a traditional fullback again when he should be playing as inverted. He's been playing in the middle of the park, and he's been every bit as poor as he was before he started coming inside again. And anyway, the fullbacks in your team don't offer anything going forward. Whether they're in the middle of the park or whether they're in, you know, at the touchline, their job should just be to give the ball to a couple of the players in front of them that are better on the ball. They shouldn't have been asked to do anything. Thingy like Johnson, I think Johnson's a terrific defender. I think he stands up well, usually. Although the day him and Taylor, I don't think they stopped one cross going into the box between them. Both goals came for crosses or out wide. The second goal was a complete joke. But the second goal, we're breaking forward. Somehow we've got about 7 or 8 players in Kelly's box. Johnson just stunned it up to the back post, and he hits a ball, a cross goal, on the flare, hits the first defender, and 20 seconds later we bind it. I know Phillips is getting a lot of stick for the second goal because he played everybody onside, but when it was like fucking 5-on-3 or something, and his natural reaction is going to be to drop a bit deeper to try and give himself more time to react, but McGregor doesn't follow his man's skills, kind of gives the ball up, shows the boy where to put it, but that's just Kelly wanting it more. The second half, the two goals that we lost, the first goal, I don't know why Phillips has went for it like that. He's just flung a leg in to see what happens. He'd done that 3 or 4 times when trying to defend. But again, Rodgers, like I was talking to, I was going to say friend of the podcast, Burnsy, but he said, I was talking to him after the game, and I'd said, look, Rodgers made a change against Atletico Madrid at home where he changed the game. I think he took Palma off and put Phillips on, and it got us a point because the game was going the complete other direction, and he brought Phillips on and it steadied us up at the back and we got away with a draw. He's not made a sub like that since or before. I don't know if he just goes into autopilot in the league, and like you see, as soon as Kelly scored, Kyogo's getting ready to come on. Kyogo should have come on 20 minutes earlier when it was obvious that Kelly was saying, right, well, we're not going to try and win the midfield battle now, we're just going to fucking throw the ball forward and everybody's going to go chase it. Everton's reactive, I think we've said that before on here, but there was no right, Kelly are doing this, so let's, before they score, let's make a change and show it up. Again, I think Rodgers just goes through the motions at times, and I know he's trying to make, well, it looks like he's trying to make a point, but what point is he trying to make? Is he trying to show up the lack of recruitment? We've had that discussion before. We should still be getting away with beating teams in Scotland. If he's looking to prove a point, it should be in Europe, where we are grossly fucking underprepared. But there's just a mediocrity that's seeping right through us at the minute. And like you've seen it coming. You've seen like both Achilles' goals coming. It was... You don't even get angry to it now because it's like, well, there it goes. And then after the game, you start like getting angry because you're like, how the fuck have we ended up in this mess? And we're top of the league. We were 7 clear. I think we've been 10 clear with them having a game in Hornet stages. But Tony, we are staring down the barrel of playing them in the 30th, having to win to stay top of the league. That's just... Before the Hibs game, when we were 7 clear, that's just unbelievable, isn't it, that we've let ourselves get into this state?
I think if you look at the season so far, our best two kind of assets have been Matt O'Reilly and Michael Beale. If it wasn't for Michael Beale, I think we would be we would be chasing. Well, I think if both teams win all their games, I think we'll be sitting 8 ahead come the game we play them. We haven't, they will have 2 games in hand. But if they drop any more points, they could be looking to come to Parkhead to get the win, and then that would put them in the driving seat for the title, which is quite incredible, seeing as it only feels like a couple of months ago when Aberdeen beat them and we went well ahead. I think Brendan's come out in his interview again and just basically says we're wanting with the players we've got, but if you keep coming out in interviews and saying basically, these players are shite and I need to get to January to get new players, it can't be doing much for their confidence. I would rather Rodgers be more direct and say, you know what, this board are a shower of cunts and they've led me down the garden path, they've taken the piss out of the fans again, and that's the reason we've got all these bad players. I would rather he was more direct as opposed to kind of skirting around. It's if he was to come out and go, look, I'm resigning, the board have done what they done to me a few years ago, they don't want to invest, they don't really know what they're doing, and you should all protest to get them sacked. Brilliant. That would do me. I think he would get done as a legend if he'd done that, but he won't. I just think there's nobody as good as giving their opposition confidence than us. Whether it's on the field at times where we make really silly passes and put ourselves under pressure, whether it's her board deciding to fight with our two biggest fan groups over stupid stuff, or whether it's her board just letting Rangers just get right back in there when we've got a chance to shoot off into the sunset. We've got a terrible habit of it. You'd almost fucking think it's deliberate at times. No, we're in deep trouble because I think there's such a, as you say, it's a kind of malaise around the club, the new, where you're kind of dragging yourself out the house to go to games and there's no real enjoyment to it, and you're wondering what Celtic are we going to get today. There's no consistency. The atmosphere is flat as it can be at home games. It's stale. And I think that, as I say, the only thing that's really kept us top is the fact that Rangers have been worse, and I've said it a million times, that can't be our benchmark because they've run really poorly as well. So it's still been a very enjoyable start to the season. I know people say you're spoiled, you're 5 clear and stuff like that, but it just really hasn't been enjoyable apart from a few games. Hearts away, Aberdeen away was a bit of a slog. Rangers away, I didn't think we were great, but it was obviously a fantastic result. Atletico Madrid 2-2, we played well. No other games. Hearts away, as I say, was probably the best of the lot. But I think it's hopefully a wake-up call for a lot of people. I know a lot of people just kind of go, oh, well, look at them, they're worse, and yada, yada, yada. But this time, we've dropped points and we've been punished because they'd already cut the gap, but it's just wholly unacceptable for how much we've regressed, and I've never known a club that have had so many opportunities to kick on to the next level and their board are that poor that they make an ass of it and just...
Aye, I think you're right. In terms of the fans, like the board with the Green Brigade and stuff, I've seen the Green Brigade and boys' banners were there the other day. I don't know if any of the they were actually at the game, but it's not a quick fix. It's not as if they say, oh, we're going to let the Green Brigade back in and everything's going to be alright again. We're not that daft, right? But they just keep letting wee factors like that just plug away at any positivity at the club and just kind of create negativity, and it creates complacency. It's as if they, I don't know, things are going well and the board just get in their way. It was the same last season with Postecoglou. Everything was going great and then all of a sudden, oh, here's Peter Lowell back to be chairman. And you're like, it's as if they just, or the Bernard Tiggins stuff, it's as if they just let light getting in their own way. And we'll never progress if that's got to be their mentality. I mean, you hear reports, we don't know how true they are, but a couple of years ago, when things were really bad under Lennon, you could have sacked Lennon 3 months before. It wouldn't have made any difference to our season. You know what I mean? It wouldn't, you know, we might have gave ourselves maybe another 10% of a chance of winning 10 in a row, but whatever. It probably wouldn't have made any difference. But you could have sacked him justifiably for like November onwards, and yet he hung out until February, and we're hearing it's because the board didn't like the attitude of some of the fans and decided to keep in there because Lennon was a club legend or whatever. And it's hard enough to beat everybody else if the board does just want to beat the fans first. But enough about this game. It was a poor 90, poor 45 minutes. It's a poor result. It gives one team a lot of hope. It gives another team a lot of headaches. Thursday, Wednesday night, we're playing Feyenoord at home in the Champions League. Before the group, you're looking at Feyenoord at home, last game of the group, thinking, well, God, it'd be great if we'd something to play for. Of course, we've not got anything to play for, and it's a complete dead rubber. And we're staring down the barrel of another Champions League campaign with 1 point. Because Feyenoord have got something to play for, Celtic don't, and that usually doesn't end well for Celtic. So, Andy, do we just hope that the game finishes as soon as possible? Or is there anything to be gained for this? Like, is anything going to be achieved if O scores his first goal in the Champions League, or Celtic get a win in the Champions League? Even if they were to get that first win in 10 years at home, does it make any difference, or is it just a monkey off the back, or is it just a case of wake up on Thursday morning and start looking forward to the rest of the season?
I don't know. It's one of, like, I think realistically you're sort of hoping just to get in and out, and it's really damage limitation for the get-go that game. I think, as has been said, even the factors out with that 90 minutes, like the board are too busy fucking still fighting with fans, so you know a lot of people, like myself included, will be dragging themselves along to that game, and it'll be flat, the atmosphere will be rotten, which it has been for long enough now. You'll be sitting there hoping and praying that you don't take a fucking doing, which is entirely possible. I don't even know what the manager does. Do you go out and play a pretty strong team and try and win the game, or do you gear the guys on maybe in the fringes of sort of Champions League games and who've not had as many minutes a chance to go and perform or sort of make their mark on the game? Sort of puts me in mind of when Ange changed the team about, I think it was against Betis a couple of years ago in the Champions League, and they get a good performance and a good result. But obviously not the exact same, but just similarities to the game when the manager made changes. But I don't know. I think realistically you're just hoping that it's not a doing, because they really could find out they're a better team. And we're a mess now, like a total mess. And the players that we've got at our disposal could turn up and take a doing off them. Even if they played reasonably well, we could still turn up and lose 2-3. And again, it's just a lot of any feel good feelings that we had are just being drained by the performances, by the boardroom. Everything is just sort of being sucked at the club, and I think you make a good point that it's, when you talk about basically the shite that we've had to put up with, and even any time things are going well, there's always seems to be another fucking calamity just around the corner. Often entirely our own fault, but on that game, I don't even know what the manager does. I don't know how you go about it, because it's one of them, if he's out and gets full strength, you have everybody going after tits if somebody gets injured. If Kyogo starts and takes a hit or something, but it's one of them, you're sort of damned if you do, damned if you don't. But it's just the position that we're in now. I don't think mentally you can afford to take a 5 or 6. I think we've got to go and go to hopefully put in a decent performance. I don't see us winning the game. I don't even see us drawing. I think it's in Feyenoord's interest to go and win. So they'll be coming up, you would assume, full strength. But it's a worrying game for me, Danny, because
I mean, you never want to see us lose anyway, but it's one of them. We've not really got much to play for. The players don't look like they've got any heart and desire just now anyway, so why the fuck would them not taking an embarrassment be enough to see them over the line and getting a positive result or a good performance? I just don't see it. They don't have that heart and desire about them. That's why we're getting out-fought and out-worked by teams like Kilmarnock. That's really what it comes down to at times. Like, your football might not always work, and the way we want to play might not always come off, and it might not always be easy on the eye, but it then comes down to desire. Will we win? Do you really want to be on that park, and do you really want to win the game of football? And the answer for the vast majority of players at our club right now, the answer to that is no. They don't want to do it. So that game itself is just sort of wanted over and done with as soon as possible. I think the vast majority of fans will probably be the same. We'll be there, we'll be supporting the team, but we just want the game over and done with. The competition means nothing to us now. We've got to look, and we'll fell into a title race here due to our own performances. And let's be honest, we're in a position now that if it wasn't for Rangers being so fucking bad and managed from the top to bottom worse than us, then we would be in a far, far worse position. I completely agree with Tony. If we do win the title and we get to the end of the season, Michael Beale should be getting a winner's medal off of us. But that's the position that we're in. Nothing's going to change short term. But yes, that game I just want it undone as soon as possible. Get out without getting embarrassed. Don't take any injuries, and just move on to the next game. And hopefully we can no make an arse of anything else before the January window opens. And I mean, taking a fucking minor medical that the board will actually go and do anything and back the manager and change this squad around. But that's really the only hope that we've got just now, because I think if nothing really changes come the end of that window, then we are in for the...
Tony, you were big on Celtic just winning a game in the Champions League, whether it was home and away, especially at home, given the poor record over the last few years. Does that mean that Wednesday's still important to you, or if they take all your enthusiasm away and you're just hoping for the Champions League campaign to be done, which seems to be a familiar feeling after two or three games every year, we just look forward to the end of it.
Well, it's important, but I'm also not enthusiastic about it. It's important because they're playing for Celtic and the Champions League campaign has been dreadful, but am I enthusiastic about the game? No. Do I think we'll win? Absolutely not. And I think as well, I think the players that play that game just aren't good enough for the Champions League level, and I think everybody knows that. The fans know it, the managers know it, the players probably know it, and the board know it. So it'll be interesting to see a lineup for a Champions League game. I think some of the players that have started for us in the Champions League this season has just been, it's been incredible, actually. If you'd have told anybody in May that this would have been these players would have played in major Champions League games for us, you would have been laughed at. I think we'll get beat quite comfortably. I don't think Feyenoord have anything to play for. I think they've guaranteed third. But they want to obviously come and win, and I think they'll do so quite easily. They're a better team than us. I don't see how we win. If we win, it would be good to get the kind of monkey off your back, and then any other time you play in Europe, if you don't win, you don't need to read big mad stats. That's 16 games you ought to win, and then it goes on and on and on. So be good to win. It maybe give the players a bit of a boost. But I think again it'll be flat, we'll be outsung by probably a couple of thousand Dutch fans. I think there'll be quite a few Dutch fans actually in the Celtic end as well, from what I've seen in some of the Celtic groups. So I would rather we beat what do you call them? Hearts at the weekend. But yes, enthusiasm's left me again. I feel as well. It's been very stop-start. We've had no consistency this season. We put in one good performance, then a dreadful performance, then a half-ass performance. So I'm pretty... There's a part of me I can't wait for the season to end. I know that sounds dreadful. But it's just... You do get so fed up, but there's such glaring problems at the club that you aren't resolved, and you just know, are they going to be resolved? We spoke about that Peter Lawwell's never going to sack his cell and sack his son, and Dermot Desmond's never going to sack his pal and his pal's son or his own son. It's just, it's kind of trapped because you love the club so much, but at the same time, you just want big change and want to become a kind of serious club in Europe. And nice to get back to beating everybody in Scotland as well. But no, I'll predict 3-0 Feyenoord. I just I can't even be asked to kid on that. I think they'll win. So 3-0 Feyenoord, then hopefully get some players back and beat Hearts and just see what it takes us. But yeah, it's been a pretty boring season so far. I know obviously this weekend Rangers will play in the cup final, so we've got a chance to get to 8 clear. Yeehaw, here we go.
Aye, I was going to say 3-1 Feyenoord, I think we might score, but that's about as good as it'll get for us. Andy, have you got any advance on that before we move on to the final thoughts?
Aye, as I say, I would love us to go and win the game. I just don't see it, I think. As I asked you, I didn't even check the group there. After a performance season, I just gave up. But I realised they've got nothing to play for, but as I say, they'll still want to come out and win for all the reasons that we're saying that it'd be good to get confidence and blah, blah, blah. And they're just a better team than us. I think they'll come out and they'll put in an half performance and probably be the same. I think it maybe be a bit tighter. I hope so. I think they'll maybe beat us 2-1. But I think it's just a case of get out.
So there you go, defeat Sauron. I don't think Darren, even in his holiday state, would predict anything different. Just before we go, wanted to ask you to use this, talking about the state of the club and everything else, and the malaise of the board since basically Rodgers left, which has kind of made me ponder. Maybe this is a completely wild take. Could be just a complete wild reaction to the game today, but people say the board get lucky with Postecoglou in the last couple of seasons, basically doing it all in his own in terms of recruitment and whatever. So it begs the question, where would we be if Big Ange wasn't trying to prove himself in European football? Where would we be if he was just happy to be the Celtic manager and plod along?
I mean, a lot of people have seen a lot of revisionism, and it's easy to say, you need to remember for the last 9 months for Ange, the football was also pish. We were also sort of just getting out of line in games, and a lot of that was due to individual brilliance and guys like Jota and stuff. But the thing is, as good as it was and as good as we were at times, he would have still been working with the same boardroom. He'd have still been working with guys that don't allow him or don't provide him with the tools to take us forward. It would still be the case where we lose somebody like Jota and don't replace him. It would still be the case that one or two injuries to his team, and he would be forced to bring in guys like Mikey Johnston and James Forrest, and fucking Liam Scales would be at centre half, and that would still be the case for him. And I think that he'd have fucking grown tired of it as well anyway. But I just if he was just happy to be the Celtic manager, I don't think it would be drastically different, because it would still be a case of we get to a certain point and then it's regression, it's cutbacks, it's right, where can we save here? It's never, oh, we've got a great player in Hatate and a great player in Jota and a great player, sort of Carter Vickers, right, let's improve the squad so that we'll bring the guys I would name up to their level. It's never that. It's always, right, once he fucks off, get another dinner couple, then we'll buy somebody off decent. It's always just the same fucking attitudes and the same mismanagement for the very top of Celtic, and I don't see how that would have changed under Ange. I think it would be the exact same problems that we're facing. I think there would be one or two things slightly different, but I think we'd be facing the same problems. Like, it would be the same people, the same players at the club who aren't good enough. It would be the same fucking people running the club that gave James McCarthy a 4-year deal. The same people who have left us with Johnston and Forrest and fucking just riddled with shite all throughout the team. And the manager would, doesn't really impact that too much. It's why we've said before, look, if Rodgers isn't going to get back, what's the fucking point of him being here? Like, what's the point? And I would just sort of relate that to Ange as well. Like, if he got us to the point he got us to, we'd have obviously poor campaign in the Champions League, but we won the treble. That's really realistically as far as this board with our current outlook are going to let any manager take the club. That's as far as they go. So what would be the fucking point, Ange, then? What would be the purpose? And that point is the same with Rodgers. What's the point if they're not going to be allowed to go and truly try and push our upper limits? Nobody's saying they're going to win the fucking Champions League, but just don't embarrass yourselves. Go and put in a few decent performances, maybe get third and drop in and see what happens. If they're not going to be allowed to do any things, then what's the fucking point? Go and just give the job back to Neil Lennon and we'll fucking just go through a piss up and just see what happens. Like, that's the point you're at, unless this board removed. Because, and then even when you do get a good feeling about the place, they'll find some other way to piss every cunt off and make an arse of any fucking relationship between club and fans and then hide behind a half-decent manager. That's just what they do. So, to answer your question, Danny, I don't think we would be too far off of where we are at the moment. Realistically, if I'm asked, the change that would need to happen for Celtic to go and change our model and really look to constantly improve the squad year on year, people won't like to hear it, it's going to come for Rangers. We need them to up their fucking game and stop being a mess. Because until such times as they really do push us and really take away, they're threatening to take away that top spot consistently and that Champions League money consistently, our board have got fuck all interest in progressing. And that gets down to a lot of fans. A lot of fans are complicit in this as well because they only want to be better than them. They don't give a flying fuck about anything else. They're quite happy to see us and clap Luka Modric off the park and take a down, but see, as long as they're better than Rangers, that's all they care about. And that's how the board get away with it. So until such times as they really ramp up for a full season and beyond, and win that and threaten to take the title and take the money away from us, then things won't change. It will just continually be the same. We'll get a decent squad together, it'll get ripped out, we won't replace them, we'll mess about for a year or two before we go and get one or two half decent players in your Mouldy, Jota or whatever, and then we'll punt them and we'll be back to the same point. I just hope that we sign one project for £500,000 and we sell them for fucking 15 million. Like, that's just where we are. So I don't think it really matters. I think we would be in a similar position, if not the exact same one, if Ange was still here.
Well, you don't know. Maybe Big Ange did think about staying with us, and then the board maybe outlined their plans, and he's went, I'll see you later on, I'm about to Spurs. No, I think we would be a bit better than we are there now if Ange was here. I think you're spot on. I don't think Forrest or Mikey Johnson or Liam Scales would be anywhere near the team. He'd like to, I think he would have demanded a bit better. But no, I don't think we'd be as bad as we are than now if Ange was here, I must admit. But he's no. Ange's away to Spurs and he's never coming back, so we'll need to just hope that this board either all fuck off, which isn't gonna happen, or they back Rodgers and we sign some competent football players.
I agree, but my point was, I think that we got lucky that we actually appointed a guy that had some ambition for himself and didn't see Celtic as a be-all and end-all. He actually had a bigger vision of himself, and I think that we get lucky at that he used us as a bit of a platform, because I don't know how bad it would be if he just kind of took what was on offer to him for Celtic, because this season's been a real slog so far, And, you know, at the start of the season, you bring back Rodgers. A lot of people, myself included, think he's a better manager than Ange, with a better track record. That seems to maybe be coming across as wrong now. You've got the Champions League to look forward to. You go straight in, so you don't need to qualify. The, you know, there's no roulette of fucking qualifiers. They've let themselves down there. They're not going to win a treble every year, but the way they went out of the League Cup was very similar to the day's performance, where you just seen it coming. And just, we've not won three games in a row all season, which is just really bad for a club like Celtic, for the position that we should be in. And we've no, you know, there you look as if you've turned a corner last week. 7 days later, we're talking about the same old shite. And January, like, there's just no excuse now. Like, if you need to overpay for two or three players to guarantee winning the league and getting into the Champions League next season, then fucking do it. There's no excuse now. See this, it's a tough month. Well, it's a tough month for everybody. It's got to be even, but do you know what else are tough months? February, March, April and May. If we go into the fucking, the rest of the season with the shite that we've got now, it's completely unacceptable. As Man City have turned that around against Luton, which I didn't see happening 10 minutes ago. But we've been here long enough, Tony. Do you get any final words before we depart? Or you were a bit muffled there, Tony, but I heard that Angie said sack the board, which is a fun and fitting way to end. So if you've listened as long as this, then thanks very much. I don't know if we'll cover the Feyenoord game. it might be... I know they say misery loves company, but we've been keeping each other company for too long now. So we'll see what happens, but I hope you've a good week. And thanks for listening.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.